I greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. It is a privilege to be here this morning, and didn't know for sure if I'd make it or not, but here we are. And thank you for your prayers as well. This morning, that last song especially, I thought of a verse that I read this morning in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, says it this way. It says, "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me." And I thought, so often we need reminders in life, don't we? And I think especially the past couple of weeks, I know I was reminded of people having hurts, people having disappointments. There have been several deaths of family members. Sam's sister passed away this week, and Lamar's dad, and there's other disappointments that we face in life, hurts and things that we'd like to have fixed, and it takes time. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about Moses being up on the mountain, and there's a verse in Genesis chapter 32 that says, "But Moses implored the Lord his God." And I thought, and for some reason this week I thought of the other side of "but God." How many times in the Bible is there a "but God" or "for God" that is so, how would you say, those two words are so life-changing. And if you think about it, but for the grace of God, where am I at this morning? And even as we sing these songs, what can we do but to just say thank you, Lord? When I was at the emergency room, Mark Vetter was there as well. And he's struggling with cancer. And he was having an issue with his feeding tube. And there are just a lot of things going on. I think of the death of Aaron Swartz. And I think it causes us, or it does me, it's like, am I doing enough for the kingdom of God? Because of what I've experienced, I think God wants us to share it with others. For a message, I'd like for us to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I know that that sometimes scriptures are talking about our spiritual condition, and I know this passage is as well, talking about how we walked in times past. And yet, this type of thing, having a relationship with God, makes it doable, right? And I have no idea how people who don't have a relationship with God go through life. And we know that often people turn to other things. But what the scripture does, I think, is it reminds us of the fact of where we were once. And in verse 1 it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's a picture of how we were, and that's a picture of our Adamic nature, and it's a picture of where, if we don't take care, we can still fall into those types of things. We must be on guard and to not allow the, and especially when you think of the prince of the power of the air, which is as a name for Satan, it's like letting go. We must be on guard. We must live intentional. I think it's something that we, as Christians, it's not automatic. But the next verse says, verse 4, but God, and I've just simply entitled this message, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, I'm going to just kind of go down through these verses. And if you compare our situation, where we were, and then what the difference is that God has made because of his grace, because of his mercy. Verse 1 starts out, it says, you were dead. And when something is dead, there's no life in it at all. There's just, and we're talking about spiritual death here, I know that. But there's no spirituality alive at all. And in our lives, growing up in the church, we've had, in some ways, we've had our soul nurtured. That is a blessing. And Lamar talked about the heritage that we have that we take for granted sometimes. It doesn't make us a Christian, but it points us in the way, and it teaches us. We teach our young people the way to go. And then in verse 2 it says, we walked. In other words, that was our life. That was the way we walked. We walked it says, following the course of this world. And I think it's important for us to realize where we came from. Not that we dwell on that and stay there, but it's important for us to realize what we've been rescued from. And it causes us to, I think it causes us to make those types of but God versus just so much more real. And not that we don't have hurts in life, but it's going to the source. On the way over here, I was listening to a song that said, never once did you make us walk alone. God, you are faithful. And that's where I need to rest in, even though I don't feel it at times, because there are times when I don't feel it. Resting in the truth that God is faithful. He is always faithful. He never let us down. We've been disappointed, like Merv said. Sometimes God didn't answer maybe our prayers exactly like we'd like to see it. But God is faithful. And that's where we need to rest in. I think that's where we need to realize that's how I can go. That's how I can face life. That's how I can face the difficulties of life. And as I look out across, there's a lot of you that have experienced hurts. And even maybe now are going through a difficult time where you need people to pray, and yet you maybe don't feel open to share. And I'm thinking maybe at the end of this sermon, I'm just going to give an opportunity for people to come forward, and we'll have a time of prayer. Whoever wants to, I want you to just think about that a little bit. Doesn't mean you're you have terrible issues, but it just means that, I mean, I love when people pray for me. I can handle, I can take all the prayer. And so I want you to think about that. But God, and maybe even there is time for you to give a testimony of the but gods in your life. Were it not for the grace of God, where would we be? And I think the first couple the verses here, just talking about where we were, and then verse 4, God, because of his mercy, because of his grace, loved us. Even it says, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Just a couple verses, other but God verses in through the Bible, and these are just some of them. I challenge you to dig for them. And there are other ways that not maybe don't say the exact but God, but for God. But I think of the verse in Romans where Paul said, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." I think that's in Romans. I'm not even exactly sure. I might be a little scattered here, but a couple other but God verses. And we think of Joseph, someone who got sold by his brothers. And for a man to not have hatred and carry a grudge and to have this attitude, he says in Genesis 50, verse 20, he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And I thought, you know, that was a physical saving, but I thought, isn't that the case for us? The things that we experience, how many ministries are born out of pain? And I know I've said this before, because of our own experience of going through things, and because of it, many lives may be saved because of the things that we've experienced. A few others. Isaiah 40, verse 8, doesn't say but God, but it says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." And Jonah 2:6 says this, "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God." I think we've all felt like we've been in the pit, where maybe we felt like Jonah did, that we were barred in forever. Doesn't it feel like that? One of the things I noticed on that, the one song, "My Ways, My Child Are Not Yours," it says, "Let me walk through this long, weary day." And I don't know if the author chose that on purpose, but isn't it, don't we often get discouraged when we start looking way ahead? When all we need is God to give us grace for the day, one day at a time. But so often we are overwhelmed by the future, by what it holds or what it may hold. We don't know when the future is unknown, when there are things in our future that look overwhelming. And so I think I don't know if that was an intentional way of wording it. I don't know if you could have put another thing in there, but I thought of that as we were singing that. "Through this long, weary day, let me grasp thy trembling hand in mine." And that's how, I think that's where God wants us, day by day, and with each passing moment. Jesus said this in Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And I know that, and there are things that look impossible in life, but with God, all things are possible. And I think those are the things we need to hang on to. Acts 2:24 says, "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Hallelujah, right? It's impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. And that's why we have life. In John 1:18, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but God the Holy One, and who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Hallelujah for that as well. Jesus made God known to us and is in the business of restoring that relationship that happened way back in the garden when God first created Adam and Eve. That's the restoration project that's going on in our lives, that holiness, that glory to be restored to us. And Acts 3:15 says this, Paul is saying this, you killed the author of life, or maybe it wasn't, maybe it was Stephen, I'm not sure. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." And my mind goes to the song that says, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And then the last verse says, "Were you there when he rose up from the dead?" No, I wasn't. But can you imagine if you would have been? Actually seeing that? We haven't seen it, yet we believe. That is our the blessing of having faith and believing. And I think that's the importance of us in this day, is that we remain faithful because God is faithful. A couple other verses. Acts 5:39, "But it is from God. You will not be able to stop those men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." And as I thought of that verse, as I think of that verse right now, it's like, sometimes we want to fight ourselves, don't we? But it's like, it's only through God. It is from God. He's the one who controls our lives. He's the one who gives us the strength to go through these things. And don't ever become weary of that. I think that's the thrust of this message this morning, is that don't become weary in doing what you feel is right, even though there's a dark cloud over your head at this time, maybe. 1 Corinthians 1:27, "But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong." And as I think of us as Christians, our life is really foolish to a lot of people. Most people will do all they can to gain as much property or whatever they can in this world, in this life. And for us to have an approach that this world is not my home, I'm just passing through, I think here in America especially, I think it's hard to sometimes live that way, to know exactly what our pursuit should be, what your goals should be in life, that they have an eternal value, that it's not something that's just going to get burned up when time ends. When you're laying on your deathbed, are you going to sit there and wish you would have spent more time at the office or more time out plowing or whatever? I don't think so. I think you're going to wish you would have spent more time with the ones you loved, and maybe even spreading the word of God. And I know that sometimes we get weary of being even involved in mission. But I just want to encourage you, we have a God who cares for us, who made us alive together with Christ because of his great mercy. And also, he goes on to say, "For by grace are ye saved. It is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast." That is a message in itself. But I want you to think of this. God wants us to have a work. Sometimes we get into another ditch where we say, well, you know what, I don't need to have any works because by grace I'm saved, I don't need to do any works. but the works will follow. I believe that if we are truly born-again Christians, we are going to have a desire to serve God and to do His work, to do His will. And one of the things that I'd like to just point out is this, that not only does the grace of God save us, but the grace of God sustains us. He keeps us going. And it is important for us to rely on Him. At the funeral on Wednesday, Mel's brother, I drew a blank. Elmer Gingrich. Why did he do that, huh? But Elmer Gingrich brought out a verse in 2 Corinthians 4. And a powerful verse that really hit me. It says, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." And as I think of that, had it not been for that, had it not been for God to shine the light in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And then he says in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." And I know that's a sermon in itself. And it also goes on and it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are already delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you." And I think what he's talking there is that we must die to ourselves in order for us to live in Christ. We must die to self. There was a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1-3. I'd like to just read that. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Those are powerful words, but here's the amazing thing. And in Luke chapter 4, we know that Jesus read these in the temple and in the synagogue. And then he said this. It says that he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And then he said this, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And that's the faithfulness of God. This day is that scripture fulfilled. So what all is that? To comfort, to bring healing, to trade, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That is what Jesus does to us. In our trials, He is the one who can give that oil of gladness, that joy that we can have deep inside. Does it always feel that way? No, it doesn't. But hallelujah, these are precious words from Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior and friend. Lisa Turkus says this, "I'll be honest, for years I struggled during difficult times with what to say when I prayed. I thought I had to find perfect words to connect with the Lord, but one day I discovered if I'm going through something hard, I can pray prayers where I don't speak at all. I can just sit with Jesus, making no suggestions, offering no solutions. Sometimes I have nothing but quiet tears and a heavy heart. The beautiful thing is, the Bible promises when we sit with Jesus like this, the Holy Spirit lifts up the exact right prayers for me. And eventually, I sense God. There is peace." And she says, she goes on and says, "What are you going through today?" And I'd just like to ask this question as well. Whether it's a difficult issue with one of your kids or financial stress or just feeling overwhelmed by life, I encourage you to sit with Jesus. You don't have to pray perfectly crafted prayers for the Lord to hear you or for him to move on your behalf. And if all you have today are tears, bring those. I'd like to just close with that. And I would like to just open it up. If somebody does want to come forward and just stand here for closing prayer, we'll do that. Anyone is, and you don't have to say what that issue is. You just give that to God, and I'll open it up to do that. Maybe you don't feel comfortable doing that. I would just like to invite you to do that if you want to. Bring your cares, bring your trials, bring them to Jesus, and in that way, just show them right here if you want to. I'll give you some time.